In. Okay.
Well, yes.
Welcome to Enlightened Radio's Turd Sandwich Cafe, the sports and comedy attack featuring Mike Cucarini, who is about to heap abuse on the state of West Virginia. I can smell it in the air over the wires. There's going to be something said.
Yes.
That will call us stupid.
Let's,
you know.
Well, of course, you can't write West Virginia jokes without making West Virginians stupid. You can't do it. It's just people. It's funny because when you travel like I did for about the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
And you start headlining these gigs, tell people, you actually tell them, they're like, where are you from? I'm from West Virginia.
Huh?
Really?
You're kidding.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have some.
What? Do you have stuff there?
Caves.
Yes!
We got caves. Yeah.
There's things that, caves. Hey, you
never
know what
been
we got
found.
Nobody, ain't no other sons of bitches got out there. We got hollers.
When
got
you hear,
goddamn, there's a holler over there. There's a holler over there because there's always somebody in the holler.
Look, we are very spiritual people. When you hear that someone's missing, that's only half true.
They may have departed. It's. Well, good morning and welcome to the Turd Sandwich Cafe and the
Eat
Comedy
shit
Sports
and die,
Attack. This is John Case's. John Case's. He's like the network. He's the network. John is, and we're just little pieces and parts of it that come in every once in a while and spring some shit on you guys. So, this morning I will say congratulations to Caitlin Clark of the Iowa Hawkeyes, who has scored more points in basketball than any human in history, including men. So congratulations, Caitlin. My wife's not a big fan. My wife doesn't like the way Caitlin behaves. She thinks Caitlin behaves a little bit too much like a man. I don't give a shit. I think she's a badass, and I think she's going to go first in the draft.
Okay.
So she's going to set herself up real nice. She's one of the best three-point shooters I've ever seen. Not only that, she plays defense really well. People don't appreciate the rest of her game. She's a little bit like a Pistol Pete Maravich coming out of college. She's so far and above some of the people she plays against. It's kind of amazing. Now, she's not – the WNBA, she's going to find out that, that the WNBA is not screwing around. I mean, they will get after her defensively, and we'll see what happens. I mean, she's put her name in the ring, and she wants to go pro, and I don't blame her. Sure. She's packing stadiums everywhere. So,
well,
she's a female.
You know how she got to be so good at the 3-point shots? Well, she comes from a big family, and the older sisters used to toss the baby back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Like we did. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. That's what we...
Look.
Well, we did it over a pit of wild dogs. So we were like the Kurgan. We just threw the baby back and forth just to watch the dogs fight for meat. Just
right.
Oh, God. That says, and some also,
families...
too, I'll say, keeping in theme with the women's college sports, the Oklahoma Sooners winning streak in softball has come to an end. They lost last night. I don't know what the score was. I just know that they lost. They had won 71 games in a row. So then last night they had finally lost. So they're still probably going to win the national championship again. They're just really good. And I wouldn't say that the Iowa Hawkeyes, because they have Caitlin Clark, are going to win the national championship. I wouldn't say that because there's always this other little thing called South Carolina. And the Gamecocks, the girls down there, are undefeated, and they just look really impressive. And their coach, Dawn Staley, probably one of the best female coaches in any sport. Just coaches, period, in any sport. She's terrific. She knows what she's doing. She's always playing. She's always got her girls set up in situational basketball. They're always ready to. And one thing they do that I saw, it's glaringly bad on other teams, is they chase the ball to the rim. They follow their shots. They get offensive rebounds and put the ball back. They give their team second and third chances to score points, which is kind of amazing. I mean, they're just really, really a juggernaut right now, man.
That's very cool. I like that.
So they're playing good basketball. That's a good thing. Unfortunately, the up and down year for the Washington Capitals continues. They win one game and then they lose two and then they win two and then they lose one. It's very inconsistent. They have let go of Evgeny Kuznetsov. Evgeny had some chances. He had an issue a couple of years ago with substance abuse. He went into a program sponsored by the NHL, did very well, came back, and apparently he got injured this year and came back, and he was just apparently just too much of a pain in the ass, and they had to just release him. Yeah, he's having some issues, and I don't know what those issues are. Whatever they are, Evgeny, we're praying for you, buddy. I mean, just we're hoping you get better. Let's just get better and get you back on a hockey rink, man. That's where you shine. Everybody knows that. Let's get through this portion of your life. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for you, brother, and I hope you're on another hockey team soon. I really do. And it's glaring that the Capitals are missing Nicholas Backstrom. But you don't really appreciate his ability to set up the offense when he's passing on their attack on their power play. When they're on their power play, there's just this little nuance that just isn't there. Now Mantha's playing. Yeah. Mantha's playing good hockey. Tom Wilson's playing good hockey. I mean, they're playing good hockey. They're not getting their ass kicked. When you show up to play them, you're going to have to play. But they're not necessarily winning every game. And Ovechkin's getting old. Let's just, I mean, God, 20 years. I watched LeBron James the other night. He's almost 40. He's been playing in the league for almost 20 years. I watched him drop like 24 points in one quarter. In one quarter, the fourth quarter, the Lakers came back and won because he was able to do that. Now, are the Lakers going to whiz through the playoffs? No. No, they got teams like Denver in front of them. Denver could repeat as champion this year easily.
That's an awful big cup of coffee you got there, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little worried. I mean, that much caffeine. My cup is empty.
This has been my mug for many a year, John. This is my cauldron.
Is that what happened when you melted down your baby teddy bear into a molten cup of some sort, and now it's your favorite cup of coffee?
Yes, John.
Hey, Pooh Bear. Oh dear, yes.
Oh my God.
By the way, my spirits were uplifted this morning. It's the first positive thing I've seen on the political horizon in some time, and that was Kamala Harris coming out yesterday, and obviously giving voice to almost the entire black community now.
I saw it. Yeah.
And I thought that, and also I thought that that was the right rebuke to the thing, whatever is happening in the country about Biden's age, and which was, okay, if this guy backs up, I'm coming first. That's what I like about her. For a while I've thought it's been she needs to get out there because all this mumbling and other people doing things, and she has to be loyal, which that's the VP job. You have to. But she did the right thing. And I like the way she got out in front without ambiguity. It was great.
And I don't think people recognize the fact that you're dealing with a really formidable woman.
She has a
real good understanding of what's going on in the country. She has a real good ability to speak to it.
Right.
And she has a real good ability to repel some of the bullshit that's out there. And I, quite frankly, I don't understand why. I guess I understand it. I don't know. I just know some people in my own family can't stand her. And I disagree with them. I think she's pretty formidable.
Yeah,
I think she's somebody who, like Joe in many ways, just in a much shorter career, was underestimated. I mean, let's go back to where she ran for attorney general in California. Nobody thought she was going to win.
No, I remember, yeah. Yeah,
you know, that was tough. That was, and then when she did her job.
Well, you know, she came on the heels, and especially in Southern California, of you know, Tom Bradley's legacy, which was profound in Los Angeles.
Yeah, without a doubt.
I mean, you know, before Tom Bradley became mayor, and the whole era that he brought in, really. It was Los Angeles was not a particularly civilized place, my friend.
No, and then you also had also had the governor there too that came back, Jerry.
Well, the governor was one thing, but L.A. County was always something, you know, on its own.
Yeah.
I mean, the supervisors there were just about as corrupt as anything that ever lived.
And every aspect of life, they were corrupt. John,
right.
You're absolutely right.
And then they were all representing the landowners, you know, who were, you know, handing out the water at the price of billions and billions of dollars, you know. So, and, you know, the development that became Los Angeles was, so, you know. I mean, I remember just from my good friend who worked as a technician for the county police.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let's go back. You have friends?
Yeah. You know, I had a good friend. He's dead now. Okay, so anyway.
Oh, God! But,
anyway, he's always telling me, you know, in one division of the LAPD covering some area, you might have a fairly clean operation. In another one, you know, the difference between the cops and the criminals was indistinct. And the amount of trade going on and all this crap all the time. Oh, my God.
Everybody was getting a payoff, too.
I think she, when Bradley came in and he put a lid on a lot of it, he did, you know.
He was like, this is bullshit, this is corrupt, we're not doing business.
And he was an ex-cop, he was a cop himself, and he set up a...
Yeah.
So I think, especially the African-American community that came afterward, and, you know, Kamala's part of that, although I think her husband's from up north, but...
you know that commercial that goes, you know, that one that says, Limu, Emu, and Doug, you know that one? Have you heard, they always add that little, and Doug. At the end of it, well, I always do that with our VP. I'm like, VP Harris and Doug.
And Doug.
Because that's his name. He's a cool, I mean, he's a really smart guy. I like him.
He's a engineer of some kind. Is that right?
Yeah, really, really good guy, too. Just a really, really real sweet man.
Well, I haven't been invited over for dinner yet, so I can't.
Well, you can still see that they have their Sunday family dinners.
Well, they do.
In Washington, they still have family come in for dinner, and she still makes dinner. She makes big old single lasagna. and there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I just think that's great. It's very traditional.
I hope it's good lasagna. You know, but,
I know mine is.
I don't know.
Yes.
Well, the spring is coming. And believe it or not,
it's on its way. And another thing to see in the prior to the end of this month, what will kick off this month is the combination, John, of the XFL and the USFL have combined to make the UFL, the new United Football League, which is basically going to be a feeder league above and beyond what you see at the NCAA level. You'll see this as a feeder league. There are some guys, numbers-wise, who got hurt, say, going into camp, and they showed a great deal of promise. You know, and a lot of the coaches are like, damn, I really want to keep this guy, but I can't. You know, he's just so good, but I got to release it. So they release the guy. The guy immediately goes and tries to get on another team, Well, if you can't and has the option to go to another league and play and keep his body in great shape, in football shape, they're going to do that. And I think Dwayne Johnson and his partners have really taken advantage of that big time.
I agree.
So he helped negotiate the combination of these two leagues. And oddly enough, I do like watching some of those games. They're a little bit different than the NFL. So that's a good time.
You've indicated your.
I mean, I'll watch. I don't.
Now, is this because they're less regulated? Why? Or is it just
No, because they're differently regulated. They're differently regulated. You have during the game, you have a review official. Dean Blandino is looking at every game that's being played on all these screens at headquarters. And if he sees something that's bullshit, he's going to call it out. He's going to say, Birmingham, your guy was offsides. We can see your guy shot offsides. This is bullshit. Make the call. And I like that. I like the fact that when you kick off in the UFL, the kicker kicks off. Nobody's allowed to move until the guy receives the ball.
That's an interesting innovation.
Instead of being released on the kick, the kicker kicks it. They all stand there and have to wait for the guy to catch it. And then the guy catches it, and it gives him more of a chance to bring
it
upfield.
You got a much more dynamic start to the game. Yeah. Makes the kickoff.
And you have to kick it in bounds.
You have to kick it in bounds. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep. Or you get a penalty. You give the other team 15 yards. So they set up closer to it's going to be harder on your defense if you don't stop them.
So if you have it go out on the 1 yard line, it backs up to the 16?
No. If it goes out of bounds, he has to kick it over. Or you're allowed, if it goes out of bounds, that's a 20 yard penalty.
Oh, from where it went out of bounds?
Yeah. No, from like the 10.
So you're going to kick from behind the the uprights. out 30-yard line.
It's going to be interesting because I don't know if any of these rules are still going to be in effect this year. I have no idea. We'll have to see.
They could, change. Yeah, right.
Sure. The NFL could say, "Hey, listen, little league, little brother. Listen, we really enjoy watching your kickoffs, but you're going to have to stop that shit because we're going to do it next year. So, fuck you."
Yeah. Okay.
And we have, unfortunately, all the money. So
they do have a lot of money. Thank you.
Yeah. So does America. So does The Rock. Dwayne Johnson has a lot of money. So it's just he's not that far from being a billionaire himself.
Pretty soon we're going to have to get ready. Prepare yourself, Mike. For the trillionaire.
No, I know.
It's coming.
It makes no sense. None.
I'm with
Krugman. It makes no sense. There shouldn't be any billionaires. We shouldn't have billionaires, and we shouldn't have trillionaires. We shouldn't have them.
So where should that income go that goes to the trillionaire?
Infused into society to create a better outcome in both smaller schools, larger schools, wherever you can get people educated. They should go into a program of lifting these guns off the streets and out of the hands of crazy people.
Okay, so taxed, basically, yes.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, that's what we used to do.
Well, I mean, you can't have somebody else decide to do. I mean, you're asking the public to do things with the money, so the only way the public can get the money is to tax it.
I should preface that by saying I first think the definition of profit from a corporation should change, and I think we should go back to making stock buybacks illegal, like prior to the Reagan administration who changed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
They shouldn't be able to buy back their own stock. This horseshit, because it just inflates their stock and it's bullshit. It confuses people. Although it helps them.
Yeah.
It certainly helps them. Look at their bottom line. Jesus Christ. They just keep making money.
Good luck with that. I don't know what the answer. I think the answer actually is that it's more like an insurance policy that you have to think about. For example, what's the big problem with concentrated wealth or single enterprise or monopoly or whatever is that you're going to somehow now a single entity is going to make a decision. And if it's a bad decision, which not every decision is perfect, I don't care who it is, the impact of the crash is going to be, on millions of people. Okay. And so
I am so looking forward to that.
Who pays the cost of that crash?
We do.
Yeah. So in that sense,
we do.
I have
such a hard time with this subject because you know where we're at. You know, this is where we have come to financially. And it's not like, as my wife said, it's not like we're trying to skate through anything. We're trying to pay this goddamn exorbitant tax bill, which is fucking ridiculous, because we're paying like crazy, which kills us, which hurts us. And we're nobody. We're working people. And you got guys out there that are like just a little bit wealthier than us that aren't paying shit.
You know, for 10 years, GE paid no taxes.
Zero.
It was like, everything they made went to charity.
Here, Bob, it's a 10. Trust me.
Oh, God. You know, all the shit they wrote off. Oh, man, unbelievable.
And I want to, but you see commercials that endorse all this bullshit. And here at Northrop Grumman, we take our job very serious. Yeah, sure you do. Shut up. Okay.
Yeah, right.
Right. And the reality is, look, you may not want to advertise constantly overpriced cars all the time on sporting events. I realize there's kids out there that have money that can afford that shit, but I can't. I can't take a fucking jet flight. What the hell's wrong with you?
Come on, man. Look, the seats were going for about, what was it, $6,500 or $3,500 at the...
Where?
No, 9,800 at the Super Bowl.
You're talking about the Super Bowl.
Nine, that was the average, or that was a cheap seat.
Ten grand.
And then you got to get the hotel
and
the private jet, and the whole,
That's another 30.
So $50,000 for the seat.
You are basically, for an entire family of four, if you're going, you are spending in excess of $25,000 easily.
Right. For some people, that's like, that's like when Nelson Rockefeller was asked about his donations to certain congressmen. Like, Governor, when you gave somebody a $15,000 Christmas gift, how was that not an attempt to bribe a man for his support?
I'll tell you, John, I'm going to take that question head on, John. Let me tell you, I did that. I'm honest about it. I believe they needed help with their campaign, and we diverted some funds over that way so them folks could have some good money to pay some decent people to run their campaign. I'm just worried about us here in West Virginia. I'm just worried about the average West Virginia. That's what I'm worried about, John.
Well, Mr. Rockefeller had a different answer, actually. He said, $15,000 to me, that's like a dime.
I need a whole lot of money.
Wasn't that much money.
I keep that in my billfold. I got $15,000 in my billfold, in my wallet, and I got another 20 stuck in this insert of my pants. Mm-hmm. See? I always got me some cash. Because you never know when a poker game is going to break out, John. You just never know.
Well, laps a poker game,
yeah, there you go.
When I hear,
and
by the way, the
Washington Nationals are playing really good spring ball. Some of the young guys are already bearing fruit. James Wood has hit.
You shouldn't
say
use that. What do you mean? A guy is bearing fruit? Come on. No.
No,
that's a turd sandwich. Come on. That's a turd sandwich.
The fruit is the labor.
After the labor, we bear fruit. I thought you were saying athletes.
Production, grabbing the ball.
Well,
play.
I can't
You've
even
got
say.
Some really good young baseball players on the Washington Nationals. Are they going to be much better than last year? No, they're not. Yeah. And the reason for that is they don't have a decent pitching rotation. They still have Patrick Corbin.
I'm going to send them a fruit basket.
Play hardball, boy. Send them a fruit basket.
send them some cookies.
Here, guys. God, I sound like one of those, what's his name? Stand-up comic, just brilliant. Brian Regan. Brian Regan's got that one bit where he comes and he's like, can you imagine being the other team's coach? Listen, fellas, I know this game was tough and we didn't win, but I was over at the other team's locker room and they're giving us a lot of credit. I gotta give that team over there a lot of credit. It was a tough game, you know. But coach, you won 14-1. It was over with in the seventh inning. Yeah. Whatever. But they were tough. How are they tough? You kicked the shit out.
Look, man, he's damning with faint praise.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to watch the Nationals this year. That's going to be a fun time. I think they're going to beat some teams they probably shouldn't. Although I don't have any confidence in Patrick Corbin. I just, and this is his last year of that big fat contract they signed him for. You know, he was invaluable going into the playoffs when they won the World Series because he did spot pitching duty, and boy, oh boy, did he do it. He just shut people down during the World Series. He was probably close to being the MVP. And they didn't use him as a starter. They sent him in to take, like, you go in after five innings of this guy getting tired, you go in for two, you'll pitch the sixth and seventh and shut him down, and that's what he did. So they keep bringing the closer. And Sean Doolittle, the former pitcher for the Washington Nationals, is now a coach for same team, for said team.
Today.
He is coaching the pitching staff.
A little diversion for a moment. Today, the Supreme Court is rumored to announce their decision on Colorado. At the same time, one day after, I have to tell you what my sister-in-law is doing. She is flying to Buenos Aires. Okay. And she's going to hook up with another of her sisters there. And they are going to take a over-the-jungle plane to someplace on the border between Argentina and Brazil on the Argentine side. They're going to stay in a hotel. And then they're going to have a tour of the jungle area. And then they're going to fly back to Buenos Aires.
When they go to the tour, right when they start the tour,
yeah.
Does Guns N' Roses play? Welcome to the jungle! We are playing games!
Oh, and then, wait, it's not over yet. They go to fly back on this little bitty plane that could crash, I don't know, to Buenos Aires. Then they're going to catch a cruise. Now they're going to catch a cruise boat that goes all a long way up the Amazon.
Oh my God! Wow!
And
wow! It's like one of those planes where the pilot's like, "Hey, you know, I don't think I brought snacks. Check under your seat."
And of course, right now, I ask her, "Hey, well, when you're on the Argentine side of the Brazilian border, I mean, are you going to cross over to Brazil?" She says, "Yeah." I says, "Well, you know, right now, Brazil and Argentina's leaders are about ready to shoot each other." I'd be a little careful. So I don't know.
Oh, they're getting after each other, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Lula is bringing the hammer down. Finally, someone in Brazil is bringing the effing hammer down, you know, on these latifundistas that have been running those countries for so many centuries.
Yeah, and there, it's not a good situation, man. That's a tough one. This is a, that's been a powder keg for a while, bro.
It is. Well, they tried to put, they put Lula in jail, and he comes back and wins the presidency. I mean, imagine that.
Oh, gosh.
That's like, oh, it, what would have happened if we had jailed Trump? Although Lula's the opposite of Trump, but he's on the left side, not the right side. But,
hey, John,
but anyway, just it's that, so extraordinary. I just barely can think about it.
Let me just say, when you say that, it's still early in the day yet.
yeah, it's true. Something worse is yet to happen. I want to recommend. You know
this here. This, what is this? All the time.
I want to recommend this, our new Slurpee that we're serving.
It's made with orange and gasoline.
You know, our new Slurpee, and it's just an anal explosion. Okay, that's all I can say about it. You know.
Yeah. Got some runoff. From, like, see, we have this runoff from when we grill the turds.
Yeah.
And that turd runoff makes a delicious orange shake. Tasty as hell. That's good stuff.
By the way, I understand that Texas has just millions of pounds of burned beasts.
Man, it's, that fire is bad. That is,
and you can hear
a hard time
the animals.
The situation's awful.
You can hear the animals screaming across the prairie. Yeah.
Well, you got and you got smoke eaters, you know, smoke jumpers from California, from Washington State, from Arizona, from Colorado, from Virginia, all going there to try to help with this fire. This fire is a particularly aggressive one.
You know, Mr. Bill told me a story yesterday.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Bill, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
He knows what it's about.
Yeah. Anyway, but Mr. Bill informed me yesterday that there was some family in Texas out there in the prairie that saw the fire or heard. They heard either the animals or the, whatever, you know, and the fire was coming for them. And they had a minute or two or three at most to get out of the house with whatever they could bring in that, because the fire assaulted the house, with came across the prairie like, you know, 25 miles
an
hour.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was just, you know, so, John, it was moving so fast, man.
And they barely got out.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a flamethrower. Well, the way those flames were shooting across, I mean, it was just, that's
now
nasty.
You know how the
people.
Dinosaurs felt after the asteroid landed.
Yeah, it was more like, what was that?
Like, that wasn't right. That's a bad noise.
What was that? Wish everybody's wiped out.
Yeah.
By the time you, if you're not killed, by the time you wake up, everything's frozen. We're in the ice age. Hey, how did it get so friggin' cold? What happened?
Oh, Jesus, man.
Well, see, a meteor came, a big one, and killed everyone in this spot here, and then shot up into our atmosphere and went everywhere, all over the earth.
Yeah. So
it shut everything down, so everything's nice and cold. There you go. Enjoy.
I think the Gulf of Mexico is, in fact, the crater of that hit.
Yeah. Well, that, and then the, situationally, if you look at the maps from 500 years ago, there's been a lot of moving and shifting with gigantic patterns. Like the United States is, Florida's moved and shifted, but not really. I mean, it hasn't moved. The landmass has moved a little bit and been degraded away. But acidification from the ocean and from the stuff we pour in is just tearing the shit out of the Gulf. And especially in Louisiana, Mississippi, just ripping that end off and just making everything poisonous.
There's even worse news, Mike.
Oh, good.
Off the coast of Miami, Moby Dick has been sighted again.
Listen, I'm not going to cop to whether or not Marcus dropped Moby Dick in there. Because I know they're friends. He considers Moby Dick a good friend. Very popular. This Moby Dick fella. Lots of people saying things here and there. The Moby Dick. You got to be on with the Moby Dick. Great, great, bigly, hugely. It's like he read all these stupid buttons over the years, and that's all he regurgitates is nonsense. It's just, at this point, they keep talking about somebody's got to check Biden for his mental acuity.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy who can't say oranges. He says oranges. He can't. He said ominous, not an ominous. He said it both ways, and he fucked it up.
Tell me,
our guy's a gaffe artist?
Well, you know, it's possible that the country will go so far south over, you know, after Trump becomes another termless term, that the Chinese may have to take over the country and make Chinese the official language. And then, that's the only way it will silence Trump is to change the language to Chinese. And then there'll be no more pollution of the public language, at least by him.
Yeah, sometimes I have a real problem with the everything seemingly normal, but not showing the absolutely positively horrific, terrifying performance by this guy when he was in office. John, you remember that? We're like, this fucking idiot's going to press the button. He's a moron.
Yeah, I remember. What are we going to do? I mean, you're going to have to come up with a... I think you should work, Mike, now in preparation.
Okay.
Regardless, even when he loses, because he's not going to recognize the result even if he loses.
No, he won't. Yeah, he'll say he won't.
So we got to... This guy has to... We have to sort of like maybe Nazify him a little more. I don't know, put him in some scenes where, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you should come up with like a different language, like an Italian Nazi or something like that, or, the Hitler thing, everyone's tired.
There's already one of those, a female Nazi running Italy, so I'm not going to.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's true. He's a fascist, man.
Well, they all think...
Although I will say she has capitulated to some of the ideas of the people surrounding her in the other party. She's not necessarily as bad as everyone thought she was going to be, but it's still pretty bad.
Who are you talking about?
The leader of Italy. President of Italy is a female fascist.
That's right. Well, we'll see. Who knows?
But I just, one of the things that's been heartening is I have listened to Nikki Haley. I'd never vote for her. But I was listening to some of her points about percentage wise, and he's not getting nearly what he got before. Nothing. It's not even close.
Yeah, I hear you.
Not even close. Numbers aren't there for him.
Yeah.
So, we'll see what happens. Obviously, It's nerve-wracking. It's frustrating. I think we're all a bit raw. We've been rubbed a little bit raw the last 6 years or so. It's just been really insulting. And it's not just the presidency that was insulting. It was who we brought in with him. And the hypocrisy of these goddamn Republicans to continue to go after Hunter Biden. When in the fried apple fuck are you going to go after Jared Kushner for taking $3 billion from the goddamn Saudis? When's that going to happen?
Now, we don't need to re-indict you and I. There's no point. The point is, what are we going to do about it?
Right. Right now, yeah.
Exactly. You know, that really is the point, okay? Yep. And so if there is... And I actually think that it can't be left entirely to Joe Biden. I mean, for whatever reason, as a candidate, he does have some weaknesses. And the baggage of this global thing is weighing on him, too.
And he's really, 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 I think, pissed off. I think Netanyahu said he was going to do some things, he pulled out of it try to make... Papa Joe look bad, I think. And I think it ends up being this, John, and this is a really good point that somebody made. Here's these formidable children in our society growing up, looking at this Israeli situation from afar and saying, you know what? It doesn't look to me like the Palestinians are the aggressors. I'm not saying whether they were or not in October, whether they did those, it's obvious that they did a lot of horrifying shit. I'm not going to let Hamas off the hook here for their horrifying shit. But Netanyahu did incredibly horrifying shit at a level that is fucking unprecedented. He's an evil bastard, and he needs to go.
Yeah, well, regardless, I think getting back to the original question, which is that I think that in terms of I see, for example, yesterday the Democratic Association in Jefferson County had a gathering at the wall at the opening of the right after the opening of the farmers market. I didn't go because I'm just a lazy, you know, I couldn't talk my family into going, so I stayed home.
But you also had duties this weekend.
We were taking care of the kids this weekend. And but nonetheless, that's a first good sign. It was I think they called it a voting rights rally. But I think hitting the streets in big ways over for all the reasons that this guy should not even be on the up and ballot anywhere. You know,
You
should not be.
Bro.
It's an offense. And that, but for everybody may have different reasons for it, and not everybody may be buying into it the same narrative.
Right.
Okay. On the other hand, I think like the unions have a particular stake, you know, in the whole outcome, a big one, you know, but they have a particular challenge mobilizing their members where they got maybe 25-30%, not in the Trump camp yet, not in the Biden camp yet either. There's a bunch and so when you got an organization with 30% people going some different direction, it makes it hard to do something together, okay? You like to have 70-80%. You know, you like to have that.
Without question. Yeah, John, you're absolutely right. You want to be much higher numbers. Have you looked at the situation with the Fairfax Connector in Virginia?
In detail? No.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, they say they're striking. Then you turn right around and you hear Youngkin. What's the first thing out of his mouth, do you think?
Oh, unions are illegal. It's a right to work state. Yeah.
Exactly. Soon as it hit the shit hit the fan with these workers, this is a right to work state, man. You know what? Good luck people that are as experienced as these folks are running this organization. Good luck with that, asshole.
So is West Virginia now.
I know.
Anyway, it's a situation that requires action. Just yelling at the TV back and forth.
No, you can't. You have to show up. You have to show up. And it doesn't necessarily, John and I are advocating for you to show up. But let me tell you something, folks. We're also beat to shit. We showed up. We put our time in. We marched. downtown. We went across the state. We went to that march against that idiot. I've gone to march. I've put my time in. I'm 60 fucking years old, man. I'm falling apart. I need some of you younger people to get up off your ass and realize that you're going to lose your fucking democracy if you don't get up your ass and fucking participate.
Well, I think there's a bunch of young people that are in motion. That's not the initial problem. I think they're, but remember, in the long march of the Cherokee Nation, the old people had to move too. And when they couldn't move anymore, they were left on the side of the hill with a blanket. At least they got a blanket.
I will stay here on the side of this hill with my blanket and a smallpox in it.
No.
Just a white man.
No. This is the Cherokee people would leave the ground.
Oh, I know, man. It's like, hey, blanket. Got to keep moving.
And
what's best for the tribe? What's best for the tribe? Yeah, shed the weight.
If you can't go, you can't go.
And we're coming up on the top of the hour here, John, at 8 o'clock in the morning. where we are. I don't know what time it is where you are. And I hope you're tuning in and listening to some of my crazy rants. Sometimes I go off a little bit too much. Occasionally that's as a result of not having enough sleep.
Well,
or way too many pharmaceutical prescription drugs.
I would call it also the slanted winter sunlight.
Nice.
Has cast, you know, weird shadow. For example, you go down the road, okay, and there's no leaves on the trees. So the light comes through, and it looks like all these little lampshade-type patterns, because you wouldn't see any of that if all the leaves had trees on them. You know, none of that, no.
Did you just say the leaves had trees on them?
The leaves, I may have said the
you
trees
said the
didn't
leaves
have leaves.
Have trees that, okay. On them.
Well, in a way, they do. Every leaf
that's
is
awesome.
A micro tree. Isn't that true? Yeah.
Well, no, okay. I
bet if you went down to the cellular level, you would find little trees of cells.
Right. Well, we were out the other day. I told you we had to go out the other day. I'm seeing some budding going on. I'm seeing some mature trees beginning to bud, you're seeing some green. There's some colorization going on that's a little early, you know, that this seems very, very early, but it seems very necessary too, and it's actually quite beautiful.
Carol's planting seeds now. She had
cool.
The kids were helping her put together all these little seed pots this weekend.
Very nice. Well done.
And
John, we're coming up on the end here, and all I can do is say thank you for providing this forum on enlightenedradio.org.
Yeah.
On player, is it player.enlightenedradio.org?
Yeah, yeah, that's where the player
is. There
you
go. Those are the places to go.
Even
man.
On your
that's,
phone.
That's the thing to do.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, try to be nice to each other. I realize it's a difficult ask in this, in
sure
this environment.
Is.
People are going after each other. I can be a real serious asshole about that. I don't mean to be. This is purely for entertainment purposes. I can talk to somebody logically until I want to strangle them. But my wife is very good at having a long-term conversation with somebody who's very difficult. I am not. My wife is better.
I want to correct a thing I said at the beginning.
Okay.
Before we sign off, Mike. I mentioned at the 1968 SDS convention that, you know, there was a slogan, eat shit and die, motherfucker.
Eat shit and die, yeah.
But actually, that wasn't it, okay? They altered it. What I was saying was an R. Crumb cartoon from that period of time that had this.
There you go.
But actually, at SDS, it was eat shit and die, fascist imperialist business administration majors.
We just had a whole passel of those come through.
Oh, man.
When I was training them, I was like, what's your degree? Business administration. All right, John, on that note, on that happy, skippy, crazy note,
Take care.
If somebody says you're beside yourself, do the old Brett Leake thing and say, why are you telling me? Have a good day, everybody.
Bye-bye.